Our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote in our textbook, The Science of Mind, even if our hearts condemn us, we know that the spirit which gave the heart is greater than its gift. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming out on this chilly day. I got up this morning and looked at the thermometer. It said it was 2. Well, that's not too bad. You know, we've had a lot worse than that just the last little while. And went over and put on a pot of coffee and came back and looked at the thermometer again, and it said -2. Wait a minute. I must have misread it. It couldn't be going down that fast. Before the coffee was done, it was -3. Then it was -5. And before I left, it was down to -7. So I honor each of you for coming out in that. I know that you would be more comfortable in your warm sheets. So thank you for coming out. The title of my talk today is God Comes Through the Wound. The main point, what I want everybody to take away, it is through our trials and tribulations, through our own faults, our own inadequacies, that we grow. And it is through those faults, through those inadequacies, all the other things, that we grow spiritually and we grow closer to God. The three things I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to talk about broken versus broken open, talk about reconciliation, and finally about kindness and compassion. Brokenness is not our natural state. Our natural state is one of perfection. It is one of wholeness. It is one of completeness. We are naturally perfect human beings, but we are all broken at one time or another. Life is messy, and it's messy for everybody. You see these people that live this perfect life, I submit they have their issues. They have their opportunities for growth as well. We are defined not by the troubles in our life. We are defined by how we react to them. Author Vance Havner wrote, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. God uses broken things. When we can recognize our brokenness and see beyond the effects and still know the truth, the capital truth of our own perfection, then we have broken open. Being broken open revives us. The poet Rumi said, the wound is the place where light enters you. Our brokenness is the place where the light can penetrate through us and reveal all of the strengths, the talents, and the possibilities that we had forgotten are inherent within us. A lady by the name of Michelle DeGeneffi of Somerset, Wisconsin, wrote about an experience that she had over the holidays. She went into the busy store after a long day at work doing her shopping. She wrestled with the other shoppers. She faced the long line to check out. She did everything. She finally made it back to her car with her treasures. She put them in the back seat. She sat down in the front seat. She reached over into her purse where she always kept her keys. No keys. And she felt and she felt and no keys. So she turned around and she began to remove the items from her purse. The lip gloss, the, you know, all of the things, the tissues that end up in a purse. And the digger, you know, the deeper she dug, she felt around and no keys. She was tired and all she wanted to do was get home. Now, she knew that she had had to have her keys. At one point, she drove to the shopping center. But where could the keys be? And she couldn't leave. All of her stuff was already in her car. She couldn't lock the car. So she sat there in kind of that broken state for a moment. And she looked across the parking lot, and she saw a lady in a wheelchair who was attempting to get into her van. And a big SUV had pulled up right next to her van in a handicapped spot where it wasn't supposed to be, and she couldn't open the door to drop the lift to get in. And the handicapped lady was not dressed. I mean, it was sleet, kind of a mixture of rain and snow coming down. This lady didn't even have a coat. And she was there in her wheelchair. The slush was starting to accumulate in the parking lot. And so Michelle decided that she needed to do something. She walked up to the lady and she said, "Can I help?" And the lady says, "I can't get in because this big vehicle is right next to me." She says, "I will back up and then you can lower it." So she took her key, she got in, she backed up the car, down came the ramp, she rolled in, rolled back up, came the ramp, got in, and she helped the lady. The lady turned around and thanked her profusely for her assistance. And so then Michelle walked back to her car, dejected. She sat down and out of habit, and we all have those habits, I know I do, all had that habit. She turned around, reached into her purse for her keys, and there was her key. You see, she was able to transcend. She went from broken to broken open. By doing something for someone else, she was able to break open and recognize a new level within herself. Reminds me of a story. A highway patrolman pulled over a car on the highway. He got out and he approached it, and he noted that the driver was an elderly gentleman, and he had four ladies in the car with him. And he said to the driver, "Are you aware of how fast you were going?" And the driver said, "Well, yes, officer. I was going 35. And the officer said, "That's right. Why are you going so slow?" And he said, "Well, that's the speed limit." "Why do you think that's the speed limit? It's right there on that sign, 35. "No, sir, no, sir. That is Highway 35. You're driving down Highway 35. And by the way, sir, why do your passengers all look so terrified?" And the man thought for a minute and he said, "Maybe that's because we just turned off of Highway 90. Broken versus broken open. Reconciliation, second point, reconciliation. I think that denial is one of those things that can creep up on us, and it lets our minds run in neutral with the pedal all the way to the floorboard. Denial can be tricky. And next week, I think it's next week, I have a plan, and I'm going to show you some ways that our minds trick us. They can fool us so easily, and denial is one of those big ways. And it is important for us to move beyond denial. The point that I wrote down is what we don't own owns us. And it's important that we look at all of those inadequacies, those things that we consider to be false, those things that are not the truth around us. Last week I talked about in 12-step programs, you know, step number one was that we in AA, as we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. That is the recognition that I'm talking about. That is recognizing, and that is defining that in front of us. That is taking it away out of the realm of denial. Today I'll talk a little bit about the fourth and fifth steps in 12-step work. Fourth step is we made a fearless and searching moral inventory of ourselves. And the fifth step is we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Now, there are a lot of people in our philosophy and the way that we think, the way we look at the world, that make those steps very, very difficult because we don't define ourselves as being broken or being less than or defective, that God made us somehow with a bad trait inherent within us. We don't accept that. But I think it's important to note that we are not defining ourselves as defective. We're saying that there is a condition that's out of ourselves over which we have no control. And we took an inventory of ourselves and saw that we had conditions like that. And we admitted to ourselves, to our higher power, God, Spirit, whatever you want to call it, the nature of those, and then can you do something about it? Even within our philosophy, there is this element that we can admit these things without making ourselves faulty. On the Camino de Santiago, I mean, I've never been in so many Catholic churches in my life. We were in a Catholic church every day for 51 days or whatever it was. And the power of the confessional is huge. We don't have a confessional here. We don't look at life that way, but never deny that the confession of one's mistakes isn't for real. Ernest Holmes said, "When we enter this spirit and bear our souls to its great light, we lose our troubles and are healed. The confession of sins or mistakes helps us to let go of troubles and to feel that the universe holds nothing against us." And that's the key point, that the universe holds nothing against us. God holds nothing against us. We have been created in the image and likeness of God, and it would make no sense for God to be against that which he has created. We are not defective. We are perfect just as we are. Point number three, kindness and compassion. And this is toward oneself as well as toward others. There was once a blind girl. She's a beautiful girl, but blind. And she hated her blindness. And as such, she hated everyone and everything except her boyfriend. She had a boyfriend that stood by her through everything. A boyfriend that absolutely loved her unconditionally in all circumstances. One day he asked her to marry him. And she said no, that she could not marry him because of her blindness. And she said, "If only I could see, we could get married and we could live a wonderful life together." Well, sometime later, she received notification that she was to be the recipient of a donor who had donated eyes to her. She went through the operation and she had sight. She could finally see. And she was thrilled. She was no longer blind. And her boyfriend approached her and said, "Now that you can see the world in front of you, can we get married?" And she looked down at him and realized that he was blind too. And she turned him down. She says, "No." And in her hatred of blindness, she said no, and she sent him away. And he left dejected and sad. Several months later, she received a note from her boyfriend. And in it, it said, please take good care of my eyes. And I think we are a lot like the blind girl. We have the universe, or God, or Spirit, continually supporting us, continually loving us unconditionally, giving us, continually giving of itself to us. And yet we turn it down. We don't accept it. Because we think that we're not worthy. We think in our own limited way that the blindness is defective. The blindness is no good. And it is, we can move from broken to broken open, that we can see that we are all perfect creations of God just as we are, even in our blindness, even with our faults, even with our addictions, even with all of the things that make us human beings, we still are perfect. And when we can accept ourselves as we are, then we move to that step of being broken open. And we can begin to live more fully. And that's our challenge today. Last quote from Ernest Holmes. An evolved soul judges no one, condemns no one, but realizes that all are on the road of experience, seeking the same goal, and that each must ultimately find their home in heaven. As you know, I always like to leave everybody with a takeaway point, the one point that I want you to carry with you this week, and thought I'd change that up a little bit this week. I have a poem for you. It's from Rumi, a translation by Coleman Barks. The name of this poem is The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And so with those words of Rumi still ringing in our ears, I invite my colleagues and practitioners to join me in loving and holding our congregation in love and light, and seeing beyond any effect, seeing beyond any fault, seeing beyond any defect, and knowing the truth for each and every person in this congregation, whether they are here today or not, each and every person in this city, in this state, in this nation, and this entire planet, knowing that each and every one of us are divine creations. Each and every one of us are expressions of the Most High. And I speak my word for each person who is experiencing the effect of disease. We just simply know that within the disease is the seed of perfection. That each and every cell knows exactly how to divide. And we call forth that perfect division to create a perfect health for the highest good, which may mean death, but for the highest good for each and every person. And I also speak my word for those who are experiencing the appearance of lack and limitation and dis-ease, separation. We know that we live in an abundant universe, and that that universe is continually supplying us with all that we need. And so for each person who is experiencing lack, limitation, financial troubles, we just claim all of the good. Open the windows to receive all of the blessings that heaven can bestow upon us. And lastly, I speak my word for those who are experiencing relationship challenges, whether they be romantic relationships, family relationships, brothers, sisters, children, or work relationships. They're all the same because it is all God acting upon God. Each one of us is expressions of the Most High, reacting with, to, and for another expression of the Most High. And we just step forth in love. And it is that love that I call forth. Love for our fellow man. Love for God. And love for ourselves. And so now I just give thanks. I give thanks for this day. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God in all that we do, even our blindness. I give thanks. And I release these words, the working of law, that always responds, yes. All praises be unto the one, and so it is.